It's time for Thinking Real Estate with Laura Dwyer Slatke. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good.
Well, I have Bill today. I decided to have a guest. I thought I'd give our listeners a break.
Good deal.
What do you think? A good deal. So I have Adam Klug with me. He's from Success Mortgage, and we were talking yesterday, and he made a statement about refinances, and I said, oh, do you want to be on the radio with me? So I thought it would be a good topic to talk about financing and refinance in particular, and what's going to be happening in the market with interest rates and what it takes to get a mortgage and all that wonderful stuff. So I'd like to welcome Adam Klug to the radio show.
Hi, everybody.
So, Adam, you're with Success Mortgage, and when we were talking yesterday, you had mentioned that the interest rates for refinancing were probably going to have a, what did you call that, a penalty rate or an insurance rate or something put on it?
Well, it's kind of like a tax. So the government agency, the FHFA, that basically manages Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are the two biggest housing programs that most everyone uses for conventional financing, they're going to start charging an additional 0.5% for refinances starting on December 1st. So basically what that means is that if you have a $100,000 loan and you want to refinance that loan, it's going to cost you about $500 more once that tax is instituted than it would if you were refinanced before that tax is instituted.
Yeah, so that's going to be on everything that's refinanced. Is it just residential? Does it include commercial?
Well, no, because commercial financing is not a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac product.
Okay.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are just conventional mortgages. So this actually doesn't apply to FHA mortgages either.
Okay.
Or any of the government mortgages like VA or USDA, but just the standard conventional mortgage, which is what most people who have a residential mortgage have.
Okay.
It also doesn't affect homes that are less than $150,000. So my $100,000 example probably wasn't the best. It'd probably been better to give a $200,000 example and then say, you know, it'll cost you an additional $1,000.
Right.
And there are also a couple of special programs that it won't affect, which are going to be the income-based program. So they have two programs called Home Ready and Home Possible, which if you're below what the average median income, it depends on the county, but it's usually anywhere between $40,000 and $60,000. Those people won't be subject to that refinance tax either. So over $150,000, over an income of about anywhere between $40,000 and $60,000, depending on your county, you're going to get a little bit of a tax, but it's not the end of the world. It's just a 0.5% of what the loan is.
Which is still less. Is it just a fee or is it the interest rate? Is 0.5% added to the interest rate?
So it's a 0.5% of the loan amount charged as an extra fee. But a lot of times that fee can be baked into your interest rate. So it can be a little bit confusing. So if you were to go try to get a mortgage and your mortgage lender said, hey, you're going to get a 3% interest rate and there's no additional charge for that rate. Well, that same, all other things being equal, that same mortgage lender would now say you're going to get a 3% interest rate, plus it's going to cost an additional 0.5% of your loan amount added onto your closing costs at closing. Now, if you don't want to pay that, you can go up to a 3.125% interest rate, and most likely that'll get rid of the cost. So it either translates into more dollars out of your pocket or a slightly higher interest rate.
Right, and so if you put your interest rate into the, and that's what your mortgage rate is, then you're paying it for the until you pay that mortgage off, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So most of the time, I would say that if you're planning on being in the house for the long haul, to go ahead and just pay it and get the lower rate because eventually you end up making your money back. But it really depends on each situation. You'd have to consult whoever you're refinancing with to see what's going to fit best for you.
Got it. So any other programs out there that we should know about?
Well, I would say that just you know, that news can sometimes discourage people to feel like, well, hey, maybe I shouldn't refinance because of this tax. People need to realize that even with that tax, you're looking at historic lows on interest rates. I mean, I've never seen people getting interest rates in the 2% range, which happens common. It's often now that that happens. So I would say that you know, the big thing right now is anyone with a mortgage before this point in history right now, there's only a few points in time where someone got a mortgage that were near this rate. I think back in the mid-2016 range, it drops to like 3.41%. And then in like back in 2012, right after, you know, a couple of years after the crisis, it was down to 3.31. Now it's down to being less than 3%. So there was, and you were in the middle of 2016 or the basically the end of 2012, you probably would benefit from refinancing.
Yeah, my first mortgage was 16%, and I had to beg for that. And we had savings and loans in the day, and it was just you had to know somebody back in those days. That was in the early 80s. 16%.
I couldn't imagine. That's like a credit card.
Yeah, right? I know. It was just amazing. And I'm still paying 7.875 on one of my mortgages on my primary house. So I'll have to get that refinanced before I'll have to lock that rate in before October 1st.
Well, and one of the things you can thank for not having to see rates like that again is the fact that, you know, we're way more scrutinizing when it comes to writing the mortgages. Mortgages fall way less now because they require way more after the financial crisis. So even though that can be very annoying when you're applying for your mortgage, you know, getting that low interest rate and low payment is kind of the result of that.
What are some of the requirements that I have to do before I will qualify? What are they looking at? What's your minimum credit score? Let's start with that.
Okay. So for my bank specifically, the lowest we'll go for any loan program is a 600 credit score. There are a lot of banks that will go even lower than that. But those
Gosh,
are going to only be for government.
I thought it was 620 or 640. So you're a little less than what I thought.
Yeah, so, COVID really kind of shook things up. At one point, we were at a 660 and it ended up dropping back down. The FHA loan program for people who, you know, are wanting to refinance their home right now, it actually can go down to a 500 credit score, believe it or not. So that's going to be the, if you're asking me what the minimum credit score is, that's going to be the minimum score for any type of financing. But usually for someone that's doing a conventional mortgage, a 640 is about where it starts if you're putting 20% down. And if you're wanting to do those like very low down payment programs for conventional financing, then you're going to have a higher score that's kind of more in like the 680s and above.
Oh, and when you say low down payment, are you talking 3%? Is that the lowest I can do on a conventional?
Yep, 3% is the lowest you can do on conventional, and 5% is the lowest you can do on a conventional if you already own a home.
Oh. So whether it's my primary home or a rental, let's say, Chris, who would own a rental and not have a primary home, but let's pretend that might happen. You're talking about
right.
If you own your own primary already.
Exactly. Well, if you own any ownership in a home, if you own a home and you're applying for a conventional mortgage, the only way to get to the 3% would be to either be a first-time home buyer, meaning you haven't owned any property in the last 3 years, or if you're under that income limit that I was telling you about before, which is county-specific.
Got it.
So those are the two circumstances that get you 3% or below. Usually, I actually would say that if you can go 5%, you're doing better. Even like if you're in a situation where you qualify for the 3%, but you can put up the 5%, I would recommend doing that in most cases because you end up saving on your interest rate and your mortgage insurance. That extra 2% that you put down, you make back significantly on your monthly payment if you're in that house for any amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a situation where you go, well, you know what, it's just 3% is definitely going to work best for me, you have to fit those two categories.
So if I'm buying a new home and selling my home, I've got it 5% down.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then with FHA, the minimum down is 3.5%.
Yep, 3.5% for FHA and USDA, which is actually a very good program for the outside of Jackson area, is 100% financing. It's actually a lot better than FHA. It has a little cheaper mortgage insurance, and the interest rate sometimes can be a little bit less than FHA, too. So usually if you're buying outside the city, USDA is the way to go. It actually can be very competitive to conventional a lot of times, too, because of that lower interest rate.
And do USDA take longer? Is there anything I need to know if I'm selling a house to a client that's going USDA when I'm writing that offer? Do I have to add time? Does the house have to qualify? Are the closing costs higher?
So the closing costs are 1% higher because USDA charges a 1% fee. It does take longer because after you're done writing the loan, just as you would for a conventional loan, you have to send it off to USDA, and it takes them about a week to send it back at this point. The house has to be able to meet health and safety guidelines. So with a conventional mortgage, if you have, you know, a window that's cracked or, you know, something won't open, maybe the electrical panel's a little older, you're probably not going to have an issue with it. But with USDA, they're going to make sure that that place has health and safety standards. It doesn't have to be, you know, completely remodeled, you know, new, brand new home, but it has to be livable, and it can't have any issues that they would say, well, hey, you know, someone, if there was a fire hazard and no one can get out of this window, you know, that has to be fixed. So.
Okay. And I had something right on the tip of my tongue. Now let me think about it. What other loan products are there out there? Are those basically at conventional FHA,
so,
VA?
Yeah, so the VA program, obviously for veterans, I personally think it's the best loan program to go with. I know Dave Ramsey would disagree with me, but I personally feel like the VA program is hands down the best program you can use.
Why?
Because the VA is so flexible with their customers. A lot of times when a veteran runs into an issue, let's say has an illness, loses a job, things like that, there's no loan program that is more, amiable to trying to help keep that veteran in his home and keep his house. The other thing, too, is that they don't require any down payment and they don't have mortgage insurance. There's no other loan program that does that. Any other loan program, if you're putting less than 20% down, you have to have a monthly mortgage insurance fee. For the VA, you don't have that. The only downside to VA to conventional is that they charge a funding fee. And that funding fee, depending on, you know, whether it's your first use or a subsequent use or anything like that, is anywhere between, you know, 2.35% and 3.6%. But that fee, I think personally, is worth paying when you can keep another, you know, $50,000-$60,000 in your pocket, like a customer we're currently working with. You know, he doesn't have to put down a down payment on his home, and he's able to keep money in his pocket and actually go buy another rental property because he's, you know, he's an investor. So I just think it's a superior program in every way. So,
and I can roll that to, what'd you say, 2.5% into the mortgage?
Exactly.
All
yeah.
Right.
And the nice thing about the VA program is that they allow the seller to pay more costs than any of the other loan program. A lot of people have like a misconception that the VA only allows 4%, but they actually allow 4% over and above what they would consider normal closing costs. So a veteran can sometimes buy a house, have $0 down, and get some of their debt paid off by the seller.
Well, and what are you talking about? You're talking about 6%, did you say? What'd you say?
No, so the way the VA rules is actually a little bit more confusing. So basically, they will allow any closing cost that's on their allowable list to be paid. On top of that, they will allow an additional 4% to be paid towards pretty much anything. So what that means is that, you know, if you have, let's say, $1,000 credit card that you went, hey, I wanted to get as much as I can back from the seller and I wanted to get this paid off, the seller is actually capable of paying off that credit card for you at closing.
Wow.
No other loan program allow you to do that.
Wow. Has it always been that way?
It is. The problem is that a lot of lenders don't know a lot about the VA program because it has its own little subset of rules.
Uh-huh.
So all of the other loan programs like USDA, FHA, and even Fannie and Freddie, HUD pretty much kind of determines what the standards are for those. But the VA has all of these extra little rules that they allow, which are benefits to the veteran. But if a lender's not used to writing those and they don't know about them, you can't use them.
And so do you do a lot of VAs?
Yeah, we do a lot of VA loans.
Should I be sending all my VA clients to you?
Well, I would appreciate that. Yeah, that would be nice.
Well, you know, in the real estate business, and especially right now since, well, any time, but it's right now since the market's so fast, we have to, I mean, I negotiated a transaction the other day because it was the lowest price, but we countered back at the highest. But I picked that one to negotiate because it was conventional. It was, I liked the lender, and I liked the real estate office. I knew that their agents were educated. So, you know, all that stuff plays big in the role of in getting a transaction together. So if I'm working with a lender that knows, they come in with a VA, and I know that lender knows his VA stuff, I'm more apt to pick that transaction simply because it will be more smooth.
Right. And at sometimes I've actually had to advise customers for a seller that was, let's say the seller is just adamantly against doing anything other than conventional. Unfortunately, sometimes they have to go conventional just to get the house, even though they're allowed to do a different type of financing. So unfortunately, that's just the perception of VA financing from other real estate agents can sometimes prevent veterans from using their benefit. So
right. All right. Well, we are out of time. I've got to talk about my listing. So, Adam, tell us how we can get a hold of any of the listeners who want to call in and talk to you about any of your mortgage products.
Sure. So I think the best place to start is my website. It's www.ownyournewhome.com. So that's ownyournewhome.com. Or you can just call into our number. It's 941-444-563.
Say that phone number one more time.
941-444-5563.
Yeah, I have a different number for you, but I'm too lazy to change it in my phone.
Well, you have my cell number.
So. All right. And for those listening, the houses that I have available, I've got 700 4th Street, which just is a cream puff. It's a three-bedroom, one-and-a-half bath, main floor laundry, and there's extra rooms. There's a living room and then a sitting room and a dining room, and the kitchen's gorgeous. Lots of storage. There's a room off of the bathroom. You could make an amazing master bedroom, and it's only $99,000. It's got a fenced-in backyard. I have a commercial property at 615 West Franklin, which a long, long time ago used to be a gas station, and now it's used as an art studio. It's a great little space and could be used for a lot of different things. I've got a commercial building on West Michigan Avenue that's got amazing visibility, and it's in beautiful condition and even getting better right now because there's some renovations going on, and that's at 569-9. It goes all the way through to Wildwood, and there's an extra outbuilding, and you could store your RV in it if you wanted to because it's got an oversized door. Let's see what else. So I've got one coming up tonight that I'm listing on St. Clair that's got a four-car garage, three bedrooms, two full baths, bamboo flooring. The yard is amazing. It's all fenced in, and the back patio is covered. It's, I would call it a man cave patio, but anyhow, and that one I believe is coming on the market for $197.9, and it is, and the kitchen's just amazing. So call me. I would love to help you with your real estate needs, whether you're buying or selling. You should be thinking Laura Schlechte of Thinking Real Estate, 780-3800.